This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
No truer statement than Power Hour. And we start right from the jump. Ready? Off to Raleigh we go.
Walk-up music.
I mean, right now. Hit the music. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the three-time ACC champion, the head basketball coach of the Wolfpack, Wes Morris here. Beyonce's in the background. Life is good. Top seed. Home games for a weekend. I mean, tell me how this is riding up in first class since a week ago Sunday in Greensboro.
It's been a great run, guys. I mean, I didn't know if we would ever win the ACC tournament when I got here. And now we've won three in a row. It says a lot about the seniors that we have and what they've done to put this program on the map. So I've been riding their coattails. So it's been nice.
Well, all right, let's get right to it. I mean, everybody's buzzing about the brackets. You knew you were going to be a one seed. You've earned it.
Yep.
Deserve it. There's no question about that. But let's be honest. You had to be a little ticked being in Bridgeport, weren't you?
Okay. Or did they make us a one seed?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, you're the one seed, all right.
You know, but I told our players, you know, we don't really need to talk about it because we've got to go out and win games or it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. But I don't get it. You know, I guess we should have lost more games. You know, I don't know. To me, why wasn't UConn a number one seed? I mean, they're Nets number four in the country. They've played all year long. They say they take injuries into consideration. They played all year long without the reigning national player of the year, Paige Beckers, and now they got her back. So I don't get it. Why didn't you make them a number one and let them play at home up there and us play on a neutral side or whatever? But, again, it's kind of a shame. To me, at some point, if you have a committee, they ought to use common sense, and they ought to do the right thing. And otherwise, let's just use a computer, save a lot of money. But, again, we got to go out and win ball games. That's a bottom line.
Coach, it's crazy. We got two number one seeds in our league, right? You guys are terrific. Louisville's a one seed. But on the surface, I'm sitting on the couch with dogs. I would much rather be in Louisville's position today than what you've got to go through. And yet you won the regular season, you beat Louisville, and you won the ACC tournament. That part to me, as somebody who doesn't have any skin in the game here, doesn't seem like common sense to me.
Right.
To me.
It's not common sense, and it's not the right thing. And our kids – we had three kids come back. They graduated. They came back for this, you know, and they went out and did about everything you could do. Number two net in the country. We played an unbelievable non-conference schedule. And then we went out and won the regular season, won the tournament, went 20-1 against great ACC teams. So we did everything we could do. So don't tell me about the net and strength of schedule. At the end of the day, you know, they're going to do what they want to do.
All right, Wes, there is this piece of this, and we've kind of been, all right, here's Bridgeport and here's UConn as a two. There's got to be some financial part of this in the room, right, when the decision's made. So at some point, it's about generating dollars as opposed to fairness in the grid. That's the problem I have. It's much like the same issue I have with the five seeds that the ACC got, when you and I know, and you know more than I do, that some of those teams are deserving of four seeds and hosting. I think what Kenny Brooks is having to go through is ridiculous. I think they ought to be a four seed. I feel similar to that with Courtney and with Neil too. I think it's a bad look by the committee. So where does women's basketball, where does that get corrected as long as we're going to keep these campus sites, in addition to the straight dollars that are being shown here in the move with you and UConn and Bridgeport?
Yeah, but like I said, you could have the best of both worlds. Make UConn the fourth number one seed. I mean, it was easy, and you could argue for it. I mean, they're the number four net team in the country. And like I said, they played all year long without the Paige Beckers, I mean, the reigning national player of the year, and now they got her back. So it was easy, okay? Like I said, common sense, do the right thing. I'd like to hear their reason for not doing that. Anyway, you know, it is what it is. I hate it for our kids. Again, you know, hey, we got to go get it done. They've answered every call all year long for the last 2 years. They've been great on the road, and so we got to go get it done. But you didn't do the right thing and give them the best path for sure.
Coach, I know this, though. You have built a great, not good, great program. That involves having great players, staff, the whole deal. And I've always found when you start talking about the great teams, they love it. They love it. Mm-hmm. When all of a sudden there's a cast of doubt. Oh, man, that's a tough break. You got to do this. I think in your locker room, and again, you're going to paint the picture that you want, but I think in that locker room that your girls can't wait for the opportunity. If it turns out that you're good enough and UConn's good enough, that we'll go play you on your home soil for the ability to go to a Final Four. To me, the great teams absolutely cherish a moment like that.
Yeah, like I said, though, we're trying to focus on this weekend. You know, we've got hopefully we got two games at home, hopefully. You know, and these teams are all good. I mean, they've won their conference tournaments or they've had great regular seasons. And we lost two games at home this year, which hadn't happened very often. But that's what's happened this year. We've actually probably played better on the road. So we're going to have to go out and protect our home court first. And then even at that point, if you're fortunate enough to advance, you got to go win a game in Bridgeport against another really good team. So before you even worry about that potential matchup with UConn. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. We got to make sure we don't look ahead. That's why I'm saying I really didn't even want to talk about this. But since you brought it up, you know, felt like I had to at least, express my feelings. But you're right. Hopefully you know, we're a little ticked off about it, and we go out and, talk to them about we got to have the toughness and the urgency to make it happen.
All right, you get the winner of the Longwood Mount St. Mary's play-in game tomorrow night. Between winning in Greensboro and cutting down the nets and playing your first ball game, your process, I'm sure, doesn't change very much. You stay on schedule with what has been successful for you. What do you know about those teams, and how do you compartmentalize this weekend? Because you've been pretty good when you've had an opportunity to host, certainly there at Reynolds.
Right. Yeah, both those teams are hot. They've got good winning streaks going. They won their conference tournaments, so they come in with momentum. They come in with confidence. And so that's the biggest thing. We've got to prepare for those. We don't know exactly who it's going to be yet, but we've obviously prepared scout for both of those. And we've also, you know, earlier in the week, we tried to, since we don't even know who we're playing yet on Saturday, earlier in the week, we tried to spend a day each on Kansas State and Washington State. And two teams that actually we played earlier in the season, which is kind of ironic also. But so we've tried to prepare for all of them. St. Mary's, Longwood, they'll play Thursday night, and we'll have Friday and shoot around Saturday to put the finishing touches on those preparations. And I think 2:00 on ESPN on Saturday will tip it off.
By the way, did you find, going backwards a second, given all these ACC championships now you're winning, do you find them to be different at all, Wes, or is there a common theme with all of those?
Well, I think, you know, the first conference tournament championship, we had fans there and hadn't done it in a long time. And so it was pretty special. And then, of course, a year ago with COVID, we didn't have the fans there or whatever. And then this year, expectations were high. And, these seniors, again, came back for this. They came back for March. So they're all special. It's like, you know, picking your favorite child. I mean, you're not going to do that. They're all good. And then winning the regular season for the first time in a long, long time also this year was pretty neat because we did get to clinch it at home and share it with our fans. So it was a special day also. So, Like I said, I didn't know if we'd ever do this, 9 years ago. And so it's been an unbelievable run, and owe a lot to this class of seniors and graduates for what they've been able to build and do with this program.
I'm going to say that this ride is also probably different because you do have those seniors and grad students, right? I mean, you've now got a team, no offense, you know what I mean by this, that can lead itself, right? I mean, you've got built-in leadership qualities, and I'm guessing it at more than one spot.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, that's what I keep telling them. You got a lot of talent. We've got to win 4 games to get to the Final Four. Well, we've done that 6 times this season. And only one other school in the country has done it at least 6 times. So, that's what our goal is, try to go out and win 4 games, and that's what we're stressing to these veterans. But I feel like we got the talent. We've prepared for this. We're built for this, you know. We've gone out and played an unbelievable non-conference schedule. We played an unbelievable conference schedule. Yeah. I mean, there are so many great teams, unbelievable coaches, unbelievable talent in this league. And so all of us that are in the postseason, we're prepared for this. But we got the talent. We got the depth, you know, that we probably didn't have a year ago. We've got so many people, when you're talking about Diamond Johnson, Jada Boyd, Camille Hobby, that are coming in and giving us valuable contributions right now. And then, as you said, we got the experience. We've got kids that have been here 5 years, 4 years. So they've been through this. And I think all those things give us a lot of confidence going into the postseason for sure.
Coach, you got a special team. We're rooting for you.
Look Wish forward you to seeing
well,
you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
well,
it, my man.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate you having me on. And, good luck to all the ACC teams. We got a great league, and I look forward to seeing everybody make a run.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, first of 14 spring games on ACC Network tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Bobby Dodd Stadium at historic Grant Field. St. Patrick's Night spring game with the Jackets. Chris Cotter, Roddy Jones, LaRisha Harris will be there for our coverage on ACC Network at 6 p.m. Also streaming live on the ESPN app. I think it's appropriate we show Jeff Sims in the backdrop of this promotion pack. And we go to Atlanta right off the jump here. Jeff Collins is the head football coach at Georgia Tech. He concludes with his spring game tomorrow night. My guess is they probably got a practice in their pocket following that. But we go to Atlanta, and Jeff Collins joins us live. Is that right? You got one on the house after the spring game, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Yeah, we actually have 2. So we'll go on spring break Friday after classes finish up, and then we'll have 2 practices, situational things, when we get back.
All right. A lot of things coming together for your team. 5 coaches added to the staff. You've got a little bit of a reset. You got several guys returning, but I know you're moving some position guys around. What has surprised you the most? What's pleased you the most so far about these workouts?
Yeah, the biggest thing is we wanted to start early with spring ball. The last week of February, we got back on the grass. The new voices, the new schemes that we've been implementing have been really good. Wanted to get those in early so we'd have a full March to work on them, 15 practices, to learn everything, to gel, execute at a high level. Then we come back in April, and we still have 4 weeks, go through the cut-ups, review everything, and the guys know it and they're familiar with it, and I have really good bonds with the new coaches as well.
All right, I'm going to get back to football here in a minute. Let's get to the sidebar going on here. What's going on in the end zone, those you know, coach? What are we doing there?
It's going to be an event. It just kind of, we want to go with spring ball early, want to finish it before spring break. Thursday night was the perfect time to do it. It just so happens to coincide with St. Patrick's Day. So what they're going to do is put a tailgate area. I think it's from out to the 20-yard line, out toward the Wardlaw, and away from the student section. So it's going to be a great event. Season ticket holders, the fans, get to be down on the field, listen to us coach, hear other guys work together. It's going to be a fun environment.
Only the 20-yard line? I'm going to take that thing to the 40, Coach. Just saying.
It's a good space, though. It's going to be a good time for everybody that comes out.
Now, wait. Collins, you realize, of course, that under previous administrations, said event going to the 20-yard line would have been absolutely non-negotiable. So I'm going to guess you didn't run by this by any previous head coaches in Georgia Tech history who you might know, I'm guessing, right?
I do think Coach O'Leary is going to make an appearance.
So hopefully
he'll be here. That's my guy. He's been a tremendous mentor to me my entire career. And Wes, you were here before.
Yeah.
Some of the best memories that I have as an assistant for Coach O'Leary were getting to bond with him on St. Paddy's Day. And so hopefully he'll be here in attendance.
All right, so let me get this right. O'Leary, St. Paddy's. Beer garden.
What could go
and
wrong?
Football.
What could go wrong?
It sounds like a perfect mix, you ask me. I mean, goodness gracious. You couldn't have scripted it any better.
And the 6:37 mark in the stadium, my daughter's Irish dance crew is going to be out there river dancing at the logo. So that's going to be a nice little moment. Then, as she walks off the field, Seven Nation Army is going to drop as we get ready to put the ball down and go to scrimmage.
Oh, my gosh.
It's already set up.
It's like Broadway, man.
Yeah, it is.
Like, this is a choreographed extravaganza in the ATL.
I like it. Let me ask you about the new voices. Chip Long comes in as the offensive coordinator. Chris Winkie's come to your staff, Heisman Trophy winner, a guy you've known.
Yep.
It would seem to me the synergy with Brent Key, Chris Winkie, and Chip Long is probably off to a pretty good start, but I'm just guessing there. What have you seen with those three, and what do you think it'll be reflected on when you get ready to start playing things for real in the fall?
Yeah, Wes, as always, you've got a great insight. They've meshed really well together. They've known each other for a long time. Chip has done a great job with the volume of offense that we've been able to put in, the personnel groupings, the formations, the shifts, the plays. I think we run everything that under the sun that is successful in college football and pro football. Does a great job coordinating all of it, implementing it. Coach Key, as always, does a great job with the front and the run game and the protections. And one of the things that's been very pleasing is just the development of the quarterback position. I think everybody around our league understands. I saw Jeff on the promo graphic that you guys had before I came on, how talented Jeff is, and there's some clips of him. Tremendous talent, great young man, and just to see his growth and development with every single play, Chris Winkie coaching his footwork, coaching his eyes, all the fundamentals, all the leadership pieces that helped him be a Heisman Trophy winner. You just see Jeff flourishing, and then we've got two Zachs that came in here in January, Zach Gibson and Zach Pyron, and just their growth and development over 12 practices has been awesome. So it's been really good to see Chip implementing the offense at a high level, and then Chris Winkie all day, every day with that quarterback position, their development. And obviously we still have a long ways to go until we put the ball down, toe meets leather September 5th, but excited for the progress that we've made and will continue to make until kickoff.
Coach, any other position groups jump out at you? I know in 12 practices, it's kind of hard to judge that sometimes, but a lot of times, somebody catches your eye. You just mentioned the Zachs, A and B. Any other position groups that have actually we're way ahead of schedule here?
Yeah, I've been really pleased with the development in our secondary. Travaris Tillman has come in from Michigan State, former Georgia Tech legend, played in the NFL, has done a really good job over the course of his coaching career, and he's come in and done a really good job with the mentality, the demeanor, the collective communication level on the back end. We're probably going to have you talked early off the air about Tariq Carpenter and Wanye and some of the DBs that won't be in the secondary anymore that are going to be great NFL players. But just the job that Travaris has done with the secondary, how they've bought into his vision, his communication, his coaching style, and just the collective communication on the back end has been so improved, and it's showing up in the practices.
All right, I'm going to ask you now, and I know you don't want to do this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. One guy Thursday night that when Cotter and Roddy and Larisha are doing this game and things are unfolding, give me one guy on each side of the ball that you think fans, Georgia Tech fans, ACC fans, need to know who they are and where they're playing.
Yeah, I would say offensively, Nate McCollum has a really good offseason, has played for us over the last couple of years, but I think he's really made huge strides with our offensive scheme and his development and his work ethic. Mm-hmm. And then on the back end, on defense, Derek Allen, very talented young man, but has put in the work in the offseason, has done a great job stepping up in a communications role. And I think those are two guys that have had really good springs, and they've done it the right way, working really, really hard, competing every single day, understanding the new schemes that we're implementing, and then being good teammates as well.
What is it about McCollum that is that because of what Chip brings to the table offensively that you like his development in particular?
Yeah, his attitude, his demeanor, his work ethic, first of all, he's a playmaker, and just some of the things that we've been able to do with him throughout the spring, mm-hmm. focusing on his strengths, you're able to see those things show up. And he's such a smart kid and a tough kid, and is able to learn all the things that we're doing and all the motions and shifts and different ways we're aligning him to get him the ball.
Coach, you want to get away from just your team for a second and talk big picture. And you got a front row seat between the transfer portal, name, image, and likeness, all the issues going on. Do you get a sense now that we're kind of a year into this and beyond, it's getting better or is it getting worse?
I don't know about either way. Just all we got to do is control what we can control. And I really like the locker room that we have right now, the way they work, the way they vibe, the way they've embraced the new guys that have come in. And, we had 12 new guys that came here in January, and just really excited about how they've grown and developed within our locker room. And just excited to see what they're going to do tomorrow night in the spring game. And then when we get back in that month of April is going to be critical for our development as a team, both individually, players on the roster, and collectively on both sides of the ball. It's going to be really big for us.
I would ask you if it feels like it moves quicker now in the offseason. Now you've backed the spring up to where there's going to be a little bit of standing, if you will. You know, I mean, you're not one of these guys that's playing a spring game next month. A lot of teams are. In fact, Virginia doesn't finish until the end of April.
Right.
Are you interested to see kind of how that goes for you? Because typically you've been an April guy too, but you've scheduled it this way. I think it's going to be pretty interesting. Do you sense the different change might be beneficial to you?
Yeah, that's the hope, and that's what we plan for. Typically, we've had late spring games because we had so much development that we needed to do. But this year, the key factor was getting back on the grass with all the new coaches, all the new schemes, implementing them, and then have the full month of April to learn, solidify, and develop during the month of April. So excited about that phase of our program heading into the summer workouts.
By the way, I just got to confirm for you that you and Leonard Hamilton, the basketball coach or the men's coach at Florida State, are now the leaders in the clubhouse with 13 guest appearances on the show.
But he's still the only one ever to show up here.
Collins did host
Collins, the show. Collins was here for an hour and change.
Yep.
Pre-pandemic.
Always a blast.
Yeah, we got the signed helmet. Yeah, nobody else got a signed helmet.
Mm-hmm. We got a signed helmet. So there you go.
Got that going for us. And we don't have free passes at the beer garden at the 20-yard line on Thursday night, but we got a helmet.
No, we don't have that. We don't have Irish dancing.
No.
He'll have that tomorrow night. No. Yeah, Irish dancing and then play ball. I like it.
Tell you what now, there is always something brewing in the ATL. I'm just telling you, when Collins has got something going on, there's always a deal going on.
Do you want to just offer me a March word or thought about your schedule? I mean, once again, it seems like the only teams missing from your schedule are the 72 Dolphins and the 85 Bears, Collins.
I think last year's was ranked the toughest in college football. I'm sure it's going to be up there again this year. But, we want to compete against the best of the best. We get that opportunity. Obviously, it starts with Clemson and Mercedes-Benz Stadium on September 5th at my alma mater 5 days later.
Yeah, that's it.
And then an Ole Miss program that had a really good year last year, returned a lot of guys. So, and then UCF's a really good team. And then we get into the ACC schedule. And every single week in the ACC, it's quality opponents, great coaches, great players. And so we just got to focus on ourselves, all the way up until September 5th and play really good ball against a really good team.
Well, it's awfully kind of them to give you a home date down the stretch. I mean, you at least get one home game in the last five. Well, was that your idea?
No, that was not his plan. I feel confident that was not your plan, right?
Yeah. I'm just excited to work with the guys and compete every single year.
Attaboy, you're the man.
Yeah, let's go.
That's a good answer.
Let's go.
And I tell you what else, the alumni donation to Western Carolina is awfully appreciated as well. So there you go, helping out the cause in Cullowhee, right?
Yeah, and then they finished 4 out of 5 wins
in the
season. So, you know, every week's a challenge, and, you know, the key is to work as hard as we can to play really good football on Saturdays.
There you go. Good to see you. Be careful tomorrow night. I know you will be. I'm worried about everybody else down in that south end.
Yeah, so drink responsibly, Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta, take care of yourself tomorrow night at the spring game. Good to see you, man. Be well.
You too. Appreciate you guys. Go Jackets.
All right. Jeff Collins is the head coach at Georgia Tech.
That's a new wrinkle he threw on there at the end.
Go Jackets.
I don't think he's ever – 13 appearances, I don't ever remember Coach giving me a little Go Jackets.
Go Jackets,
at the end.
Yeah. Sneak that in. I'll slide it right on
a little Dave Dorn-esque there.
Yeah.
Go Pack.
Yeah.
Go Noles.
That's it.
Go Jackets.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever heard
everybody,
that.
Everybody, we're going to get everybody going, right?
That'll be a good scene, though, tomorrow night.
Yeah. By the way, spring football, not this weekend. Not the next weekend, the weekend after. Whoa, it cranks up. Weekend of April 2nd and 3rd.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Missing your friends and family? Well, it's time to bring everyone back together with ESPN's Tournament Challenge, the number one bracket game in America. From your crew in Cali to your family in Philly and everyone in between, it's easy to create a group and invite everyone to play along. Tournament time is better spent together, and tip-off is almost here. Download and fill out your bracket now with the ESPN Tournament Challenge app.
Welcome back to the show. Tons of guests today.
Uh-huh.
Really good job by everybody back in Bristol, the smart people, as we call them.
Yep. I got my bracket right here.
How many of those are you filling out?
I just did one.
Oh, that's it. Just one.
Just the one bracket. I listened to you on that one. It was less than 10 minutes.
Two minutes.
Went right down the list. Didn't pause. Didn't hesitate.
No, just instincts. It's just instinctively.
Bang, bang, bang.
Like I said, by Friday afternoon, Friday evening, you're probably going to be like in denial that you ever did one.
Right. But, you know, by the way, unbelievable just how many people are signed up for this thing.
7 million, right?
And they're eagerly awaiting your Sweet 16.
Yeah, my picks stink. they do. I mean, I got too much chalk.
Too much? I was wondering if you got too much chalk here.
I mean, like I said, you know when I do them? I do them when the brackets are released. I literally write them down on a sheet of paper.
Right.
And then I pick during the commercial break. Do-do-do-do-do. And that's it.
Oh, so you write them down as they're announced and then just do it like that.
Right. Wow. That's what I do.
And then you just transpose it to the whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So that's it. So I don't waste any time. But my picks are not good ones. So we're going to give them to you. There's way too much chalk. I just saw a stat that I wrote down.
Yeah.
10 of the last 11 NCAA tournaments, two or more teams among the top 8 seeds overall have lost in either the first or the second
round.
That's
right, yeah.
Which means, you know –
so why not pick the first 3 lines of the brackets?
Run just gets obliterated. So here's mine. I got way too much chalk. All ones, all twos, all threes. That's not going to happen. So again, it's a ton of kind of a waste of time. But there it is. There's mine.
It's kind of a waste of time.
For me, it is because those are not good picks.
All right,
just telling you.
I went with the ones and twos.
Those aren't good picks.
To the Sweet 16, I think they are. But then after that, I think you're going to get upheaval. In fact, I don't have any ones making it to New Orleans. I think all the ones are gone by the time we get to the Final Four. And again, I just went with instincts because when you get to the Final Four, what did I do? I went one from each league. I went Arkansas, UCLA, Villanova.
So politically correct.
Wisconsin. It just happened to fall that way. Again, 2 minutes, instincts. Don't overanalyze. Pick some upsets along the way. had a double-figure team go to the Sweet 16, took Virginia Tech at 11. But there's my Final Four: Arkansas, UCLA, Villanova, Wisconsin. If you want to know, I got Wisconsin beating Arkansas for the national championship.
Wow. How about that?
I like UCLA and I like Villanova. I like Arizona too, but there's something about Arizona getting it to the house.
All right, here's my boring picks. Gonzaga.
Look at you working on the SEC network.
Yeah, that's right. I got the Greg Sankey pom-poms out. I got Kentucky, a 2 seed, Tennessee, a 3 seed, and Kansas, a 1 seed. So 2 ones, a 2, and a 3.
You got to ride out to Ballantyne to be on with Alyssa Lang and all that crowd later, don't you?
I'm not looking for any additional work. I have 2 full-time jobs. I'm completely my workload is full. I don't need any more opportunities.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You good?
I am good.
All right.
But I'm not real thrilled about my picks. So it is what it is.
Not thrilled?
I'm not. I mean, I'm just being completely honest with you. I got done doing them. I looked down and said, well, that stinks. I'll throw that in the trash. But whatever. Whatever makes you happy.
Yeah. So
I don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about it.
Associated Press announced their All-America team yesterday. And it created a little thing in the ACC because Paolo Banchero was named third-team All-America. Talented young freshman from O'Day in Seattle, the ACC's freshman of the year. Armando Bacot and Alondis Williams, who were the two battling for player of the year in the Atlantic Coast Conference, finished honorable mention. So there you go.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. But again, a lot of times the AP vote of anything doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But again, congratulations to Paolo. Anybody gets an award, man, you take it. Thank you very much. He's a big-time talent, obviously. Everybody's been watching hoops this year. But the best two players in the league were not on that list.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
We do offer congratulations to Jimmy Boeheim this morning. He's a first-team academic All-American.
Well deserved.
Yep. And the first Orange to be honored since Danny Shays. Jimmy, of course, grad transfer from Cornell. So he got an undergrad from Manivy and gets a graduate degree, and I think it's in finance at Syracuse. So congratulations to Jimmy Boeheim, and as always, congratulations to his mom and dad, too. That's a heck of an honor.
Well, I said to you earlier, I mean, we've had a chance to talk to Buddy half dozen times on the show. Jimmy's been on a couple times. The Boeheim family, I know this was a disappointing year in terms of wins and losses and not being in the tournament. I get all that stuff, but more importantly, raising the family the right way is number one, and they did a great job in that department.
The Bacot Alondis Williams thing, being honorable mention to Banchero's third team selection. And understand, too, this is not an indictment of Banchero being third team. It's more about Williams and Bacot being honorable mention because those two guys at the end of the day were the two that were challenging for player of the year. I find it really interesting that the people voting for this didn't see what Armando Bacot and Alondis Williams did in a more positive light to push them up on the chart. The
problem is they didn't see because they weren't watching any games, apparently.
Do you think this is a reflection, though, of the league's transition? We talked about that dip this league has clearly had this year. Do you think some of that goes back to that?
I think people need to watch games.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think – if you have the burden, if you will, to vote – whether it's for a top 25, whether it be All-America team, whether it be the Heisman, whether it be the All-ACC team. I mean, if you are committed to being a voter,
right?
I think it's paramount that you must watch the games. I don't think that's asking too much. In fact, it should be a prerequisite. Before you vote, you should have watched the games. That's why I don't vote. I mean, I watch them, but I'd rather have the freedom of giving you an opinion as opposed to trying to tell you that I'm spinning for player A, B, C, or team X, Y, or Z.
Right.
But you can't use common sense and say, if you've watched ACC hoops this year and you're an AP All-America voter, again, no disrespect to Banchero. He's a really good player. But if you've watched the league, he is not the player of the year in our conference.
Yeah.
He's not. And that's not even a debate. I mean, it's kind of a fact, right? So, you know, I'm glad he's a third-team All-America. He deserves whatever he gets. But you can't convince me in a million years who've actually watched the games that Alondis Williams or Armando Bacot don't get acknowledged.
Yeah.
My opinion.
We'll be interested to see.
It's like the Heisman vote. I mean, I don't care for the Heisman. I'm going to be honest with you. Why? Not that the award's not important. It's an incredibly important award. You got, number one, too many people vote.
No question.
And too many people vote early and don't watch West Coast games. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious. We've seen that now over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I voted
You've got to watch college football.
I've voted for 20-some years, and I can tell you too many people vote.
There's no question. Yeah. I've been offered to vote. I said, I will pass. Thank you.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Don't forget, tomorrow morning, immediately following the Packer and Durham program, episode 587, will be the pro day from Clemson. Jordan Cornett, Eric McClain on hand tomorrow in the upstate for the pro day that will feature Justin Ross, among the other Tigers expected to be selected the National Football League draft. Baylen Specter, Mario Goodrich also there as well. Those will be some of the top players, the headliners, if you will, who will be working out. Andrew Booth is not going to work out. I imagine will be on site and is expected to be a day one pick in the NFL draft come April. So
I hear good things regarding Dabo's spring football so far.
Once again, your sources are ironclad.
I've been pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you nail it.
I have been on, I'd say, 100% accurate.
Yeah, you don't miss much. Your sources are impeccable.
I have heard that the spring has gone extremely well, especially in some areas that need to be good.
Well, that's good.
So
there we go. Optimism for the Tigers. By the way, Mac will be back there for the spring game, too, with Eric McClain, Roy Philpott, Katie George handling our coverage of the Clemson
spring.
Katie's going to come back over to the ACC side, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she's gonna. I think she's gonna walk that fine line of neutrality between the ACC and the SEC. I've noticed.
Okay, so nothing wrong with that.
No, good to have her.
As long as the check doesn't bounce.
I saw Katie in Brooklyn in a picture, but I never saw Katie there. I think Katie was in Brooklyn briefly.
She was.
Yeah,
we were there briefly.
Yeah. Well, Katie likewise. So there you go. There we go. Katie was involved in meetings. I'm being told. So there we go. More meetings. We didn't get those memos. All right, here we go.
Involved sales?
Yeah.
Oh.
So there we go.
What would we know about sales?
Nothing. Top four softball game coming at you from Tuscaloosa today. Number 2, Florida State, and number 4, Alabama. Florida State's 24-1, and they eliminated Alabama from the Women's College World Series last year, sir.
These are two big-time women's softball programs. Yeah. If you love the ladies, let me tell you something now. This has got your name written all over tonight. Hopefully, weather permitting. I don't know what the weather forecast is in Tuscaloosa because I'm not a meteorologist, but these two teams can flat out ball.
Yep.
Wouldn't be surprised to see them in Oklahoma City.
No. And remember last year, Florida State eliminated Alabama to get to play Oklahoma in the finals. And you see where Florida State is, second nationally. Virginia Tech is 5th. Duke 8th and Clemson 15th. A sidebar, Clemson and Duke this weekend. Regular season, remember? Here we go. Marissa Young, by the way, remember she joined the show? She got a little P&D bump off of that, by the way.
She did.
And the Blue Devils haven't stopped. And by the way, Duke and Clemson are both programs are under 5 years of existence. What a nice developing statement for the ACC to have 4 teams in the top 15.
And as much as we brag about Florida State, Virginia Tech has already swept the Tigers in a series this year, right?
Yeah.
So the Hokies are off to a great start, but the league's in good shape with those four for sure.
So
no question.
Yeah.
Like Florida State Bama will be excellent. That's big time, now I'm telling you. Big time. They're both legit.
It'd be hard to hit the ball in that game.
Can you imagine getting
Montana Fouts and Kat Sandercock,
man,
in the circle tonight?
Filthy. You're both.
I'm just telling you. You can watch that. That game will be 90 minutes. That'll be inside 90 minutes. There's a chance.
They may have that game done before I can finish a bracket.
I mean, those two? Who hits the ball?
Well, you're going to get a chance to watch it. That's good stuff.
Congratulations this morning.
Oh, yeah. Another one of our faves.
To our friend Rachel Keene. Yeah. The number 2 on number 2. Our coin. Remember this?
Good luck charm.
Yeah. Ever since we've gotten this from Rachel Keene, all she's done is go win. Northrop Grumman Regional Challenge. She's the medalist there for Wake Forest women's golf team. Another big win. She is setting herself up nicely for a couple weeks from now. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? The Augusta National Women's Invitational?
Do you like the caddy in that?
She needs better. She needs more help than we can provide.
Really?
Yeah. I've, she's going to need
that. Wait, no, wait a minute. I have caddied. Oh, hold on a second.
Oh, no.
No, wait a minute, big man.
I know. You carried the, yeah.
Go you ahead. Know what? Go ahead and say it.
I know you caddied for Boo Weekly.
No, no, I'm not. Boo's my man, but that was at the Wells Fargo. Oh. I've caddied in a major golf championship.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
No, I'm not aware of this.
A week before I was going to Clemson to enroll as a freshman.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was the caddy for club pro Tim Collins at the PGA Championship in Atlanta.
At the Athletic Club.
In 1981.
Wow.
And this is a true story. Dean Beeman was the commissioner of the PGA Tour. It's 175 degrees in Atlanta in August.
No kidding.
Right?
Yeah.
I show up as a typical soon-to-be freshman at Clemson. And Tim Collins, you know, he's got his big tour bag.
Yeah.
The head golf pro, Bermuda Run Country Club.
Strapping young man. You're fine.
And so I can handle this. I weigh about 140 pounds, soaking wet.
Uh-huh.
I got the bag. I got a pair of shorts on. I got a visor, golf shirt untucked, and let's go to the first tee. All right? We get our game. We're going down the first fairway, Atlanta Country Club. Beautiful track. I got my notes. I got I'm like Billy Joe Caddy.
Sure.
Behind the fourth green, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, Dean Beeman, walks up to my guy, Tim Collins, and says, "Excuse me, Tim, I need to speak with you." He speaks to Tim and says, "Your caddy's wearing shorts." And Tim goes, and he goes, "Well, we don't allow shorts on the PGA Tour. He needs to change into long pants." Tim looks at me and says, "Packy, do you bring any long pants?" I said, "No, it's 180 degrees out. I went wearing shorts." Collins has to run to the clubhouse, which the way the course circulates, he could run to the clubhouse. He grabs a pair of brown Sansibel slacks that are about six sizes too big and says, "Put these on." I looked at him. I said, "I'm not wearing long pants. I don't care if it's the commissioner of the PGA Tour or not."
Uh-huh.
We get two holes down the road. The commissioner sees Tim Collins and says, "I told you to have your caddy wear long pants." Tim says, "He doesn't have any. He'll wear them again tomorrow." I became the first caddy to wear shorts on a practice round of a major golf championship. So there you have it.
What did Tim shoot that week?
He missed the cut by like two or three shots.
Larry Nelson, by the way, ends up winning
that
PGA. He was a Marietta native.
So don't snicker. Story. Don't snicker at you couldn't caddy at Augusta National. I have got that on the resume of caddying at a major golf championship before. Not to mention my man Boo Weekly at the Pro-Am over here at Wells Fargo at that fine track, Quail Hollow. So understand who you're talking to there, Mr. Durham.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.